Welcome into the Fan pregame here on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, another 25-minute power half hour with Ailish and Justin as we get you set for a busy night in sports tonight. We've got Jays Red Sox. That's a 6:30 start across the network, which will kick us off. They'll be on Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And you got Leafs Lightning, 7 o'clock puck drop, maybe the biggest game in the Core 4 era, as Justin Bourne was saying.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm agreeing with that totally. Big game, nonetheless. A bigger game, maybe, in Dallas with the Luka Doncic-led Lakers going back to Dallas. That one will be interesting. You can find that one on Sportsnet Plus. So a plethora of options on the network tonight, as per usual, right?
Yeah, lots going on. It's a busy time in sports.
Yeah.
We'll try to hit it on it all in the next 24-ish minutes. And let's not let our first and only guest wait much longer. Brian Engblom, Lightning analyst, former NHL D-Man Stanley Cup champ, joining us. Brian, we appreciate you coming on. It's a big day around these parts. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you guys?
We're good. A little tongue-in-cheek, but I wonder your response to this. Some people are calling this as maybe one of the most important regular season games in the Core 4 era for the Maple Leafs as they face the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Like, is it that big for the other side of the ice tonight?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. John Cooper nailed it. He said, you know, whoever wins this game, they say, this will be great. It's great for momentum and everything. And whichever team loses this will say, yeah, it's not that big a deal. So that's pretty much the way it works out, depending on which side of this you end up on tonight. But I'll tell you, leading into it, it's great when the Leaf fans are down here in Toronto's at Amalie Arena. There's a lot of tension. Everybody's looking forward to it. We won't know. Look, you know, I've seen it both ways. Both teams are going to want to have home ice advantage for sure. And if you look at the stats, the Lightning need home ice advantage more than Toronto does, because Lightning's record is just so mediocre on the road. Why? I don't know. This is a couple of years in a row they're mediocre on the road. Playoffs are different for sure. And they're going to have to be, because they're going to have to win some games on the road somewhere along the line for sure. But I would say that if it came down to that, that the Lightning would want to end up with home ice advantage, at least for the first round, if possible. So, yeah, there's a lot riding on this one, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big game for a variety of reasons, home ice included. But I think from the Maple Leaf side, it's about avoiding the Florida Panthers. So maybe it's not as consequential for Tampa if Tampa doesn't feel a certain way about the Florida Panthers. Like, we all understand that that's a great team. It's a rival for the Tampa Bay Lightning, maybe more so than it is for the Maple Leafs. But I guess I wonder, how are you looking at this Florida situation? Because clearly they're not playing great hockey. They showed the Leafs that they could still play great hockey last night, but it has not been a great run for them, and they are missing some key bodies. So, like, how would the Lightning size up a matchup potentially with Florida in the first round?
Yeah, you know what? Just personally, I hope it's Florida. I'd rather see the Lightning play Florida. It is outstanding. I mean, a couple of years ago when they played them in the first round, it's one of the best series I've ever covered. It was, had everything. They wanted to kill each other from the drop of the puck from game one all the way through to the very end. So that kind of stuff I kind of like when I'm working television. So personally, I'd like to see that. And actually, I wouldn't mind seeing the Lightning play Florida instead of Toronto in the first round. I think they'd match up just fine. Toronto kind of pulls the Lightning apart in strange ways. And it looks messy. And it, to me, it feels messy from the Lightning standpoint. But when they go at Florida, it's old-fashioned. Hate you, you hate me. They go in straight lines. And special teams mean a lot. You know, all the basics of hockey, I think, kick in. I think they would do better in a first round series with Florida. But hey, if you have expectations with, you know, all three teams do, Florida, Toronto, and Tampa Bay, you know, you can kick it around all you want about first round matchups and, you know, should it be 1-8 and, you know, big teams are having to play other big teams in the first round. You know, the NHL loves it, right? Because there's a lot of eyeballs watching in the first round and they don't wait till the second or third round in order to start kicking in. So I get that. And if you are a contending team, you got to beat them all. And I think when you play a top team in the first round and you win and get out of it, now the engine's running pretty smooth and you've got a lot of confidence and it actually helps you an awful lot. You have to survive that first round, but it can do a lot for you when you win it.
Yeah, it's an interesting little feedback loop between these three teams because I think Florida would want Toronto. I think Toronto would want Tampa, and you're saying the Lightning might want Florida. So I don't know who wins out of that situation, but not everybody can get exactly what they want.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
The perfect scenario would be a battle of Ontario and a battle of Florida. Like, I think all the broadcasters would be happy with the travel. They'd be happy with the rivalries. So maybe we will see that. I want to ask you about the second part of the Lightning season because, you know, we've been focused a lot on Florida, a lot on Toronto, and I think the Lightning have been, you know, very quietly dominating maybe the second half of the season. Like, what is it about them that not peaking at the right time? I don't want to give them that bulletin board material because that's a good thing, but I just wonder what changed for the Lightning as they went on this really hot, quiet streak that I think surprised a lot of people in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. We've been kind of chuckling about it for the last several weeks that nobody's really talking about the
Lightning.
That's right. And good, perfect, great. They, you know, they love it. They know who they are. They've had, like everybody else, you know, every team has to make some major adjustments from one year to the next. And then the trade deadline comes around and everybody's looking at everybody else. And, okay, what did you do? What did they do? Where do we match up now? How quickly can we get our players assimilated into into our team. So you have all those things going on. I think that Coop has done a really good job here of just slow but steady, you know, getting them, making them better and you know, kicking them at the right time, but just sitting back and waiting and working with them over the course of the season. And as it, you know, it's come into the second half, they started, you know, they started elevating. They started playing more consistently. The aim at the beginning of the year was absolutely, positively have to be better defensively. It got away from them last year, and it got away pretty badly. And so they knew it. And all the guys returning are like, you know, that's pretty easy sell. Like, you know, we've won cups, and we know what we did wrong last year. So it's been a pretty easy sell. And so they have buckled down defensively, and the numbers are there. I think last year they were like 22nd or something defensively. I think they're third currently. Yeah, it's a pretty good change. I think they got the message. And when you do get the message, you know, it starts to register more and more often. And now you're down to the last handful of games. And it's going to be great theater for all of us to watch and see how they play.
We're chatting with Brian Engblom, Lightning analyst for Bally Sports Sun. How annoyed, Brian, are people in Tampa Bay about the fact that Nikita Kucherov seems to not get the Hart Trophy love or consideration that he probably does deserve?
Okay, it's FanDuel Sports too, and I'll get in trouble if I don't correct you there. But
noted. We'll take it. We'll make the adjustment now. Cooch,
we've had a couple changes in the last couple of years. Cooch, fascinating to watch game in and game out. Everybody seems to, you know, look in different directions. You know, it's kind of like picking coach of the year sometimes or whatever. You know, there's always, for a lot of people, there's a hotter story somewhere else. Kucherov's been so consistently good when it comes to producing points that sometimes you just go, oh, yeah, oh, well, you know, he's having another great year. Oh, but look at that guy. You know, so there's a little bit of that going on, I think. I think Kucherov wants it. I want it for him. The team wants it for him. I think it's a really valuable thing. And you can point at certain games probably and, oh, well, you know, he's trying to get too many points. Yeah, that's probably true, you know, the plays he's trying to make. But I think there's an intimidation factor that's there. I think there's a confidence factor, certainly for Kucherov himself and for the entire team. Like, we got the, you know, goal-scoring leader, the Art Ross Trophy winner. That carries some weight. I mean, just ask the other teams. So, obviously I hope he gets it. He has one more game to play than MacKinnon. He's 1 point behind him. He's played 6 fewer games because of injury. You can't do anything about that. If he'd had the 6 games, you know, I could argue he'd probably be in front for a little bit, you know, the way both of these guys score a few points a game on average. But at any rate, you know, that's what sits in front of him. And I hope to heck that he gets it. He is a fascinating player to watch.
This offseason, when Stamkos departed, went to Nashville, I think a lot of questions, and rightfully so, were how is this team going to survive, like a culture shift of that significance? You lose your captain, you lose someone who had been there forever. And I'm really impressed in how it looks like they haven't missed much of a beat, maybe a slower start. But is there someone we're overlooking in terms of having that culture-setting role in the dressing room, losing your captain, but being able to kind of fill that void when you look at this Tampa Bay Lightning team?
Well, you bring up a great point, and that's part of, you know, maybe the slowish start or irregular start or whatever. Oh, Stammer left a huge void. Yeah. I mean, he's the man here, you know, for years. He's probably going to have a statue outside too. He'll be, you know, in the Lightning Hall of Fame, all of that. There's no doubt. And Julien Brisebois acknowledged all of that and just said, hey, this, you know, the business side of it, this is the way we see things. It's not personal. It's the business part. And, you know, Stammer wanted what he wanted, and the organization felt they needed what they needed. And so the two parties part ways. So, yeah, does it fill leave a void? Yeah. I think Victor Hedman's done a really good job of filling it. He and Stammer are, you know, like blood brothers. I mean, they are best of friends. It was tough for Victor seeing Stammer go. Difficult. So, yeah, was there some, you know, moving and shaking that had to go on in the room, on the plane, everything. You know, Stammer was in the center of everything. So, yeah, it took a while, and that's part of, you know, what the evolution of the team of the Lightning looks like from the beginning of the season to where they are now.
The best team save percentage since January 1 belongs to the Tampa Bay Lightning, which is, of course, a credit to Andrei Vasilevsky. I think, you know, last couple of years there's been some skepticism whether or not he could be the guy who signed that monster deal, be the guy who backstopped a couple Stanley Cups, just be the same Andrei Vasilevsky. And I think one thing that's gone underreported this year is that his numbers are almost as good as Connor Hellebuyck, who's going to win the Vezina Trophy probably unanimously. What's gotten in Andrei Vasilevsky this year?
I just think he's back where he was when they won the Cups and they went to the finals. Last year, he said at the end of the year, I mean, he missed training camp, right? And he missed the beginning because of back surgery. So he just wasn't the same. I mean, pretty easy to understand looking back at it now. And I think the words that he used at the end of last year was, my mind and my body just wouldn't cooperate. That's what stuck, you know, in my ears. That's what I heard from him. And it was an interesting way for him to find the words to try and describe how he felt. Well, he's a year removed from the back surgery, and he works hard. I mean, he comes into camp prepared. He's a machine, just like Kucherov and so many of the other guys. So he's back at that level, and the rest is just rhythm. So he doesn't look any different than he did the years he went to the Cup Finals or won Stanley Cups when he was right there at the top of the National Hockey League among goaltenders. May have slipped a little bit last year, but he's that guy again, and that's the one difference between, you know, Toronto and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay knows exactly who's going to be the goalie. There is no doubt whatsoever. Every game, all the time, it's going to be Vasilevsky. And to me, that's an added weapon for them. Whereas I think in Toronto, whichever one starts, and as soon as there's a loss, and there will be a loss, right? What are you guys going to be saying? Should he stay in, or should we go to the other guy? Which is great for radio and television and all that, but not so great for the team.
Yeah, you got us nailed. That's definitely the discourse, and it's probably going to start as soon as game two or three is.
What have you guys been talking about without a goaltending controversy for like the last decade plus? Like, what is there to talk about?
We usually find something. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, we appreciate you joining us ahead of a big game tonight. I hope you enjoyed, and maybe we will chat, depending on these playoff matchups, down the road, Brian. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks for having me. Enjoy.
Appreciate it. That's Brian Engblom, Lightning analyst for FanDuel Sports
Network. Yeah, if we get him back on, we'll get the network right.
FanDuel Sports Network.
Changed
NHLer,
a lot south of the border.
Stanley Cup champ. Yeah, for sure. So as we sit before puck drop, Maple Leafs with 77 games played and 98 points at top of the Atlantic. And the Lightning, 77 games played and 96 points. So a 2-point difference between these two teams. So I think it is a huge game. I don't know if it's the biggest ever in the Core Four era, but prove me wrong. Play like it is. I don't care.
Just to me, it's only a big game because you're trying to avoid like a certain fate, which is the Florida Panthers in the first round.
That fate isn't like, really in your hands. Whatever the Panthers want to do, they'll do.
Well, it is. If you beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, then you're probably going to avoid them.
Well,
that's why it's big.
The Panthers last night, it's like they wanted to put...
they don't care.
They don't care. They were like, oh, you thought we were bad. We lost 5 in a row. We'll show you that we can still beat you.
I will say, though, if you're going to have to go through them anyway, maybe it is best to get them first. because Matthew Tkachuk might not be ready to rock.
No, you'd rather get them after they've been beat up by the Lightning.
Exactly. That would be a good time.
That would be good.
And I think the Lightning may be able to deal with them in the first round. I think if we're talking value plays in terms of, and just like, I think we should do a segment, maybe not this week because we're not getting much air time with some early Blue Jays.
Short on time.
But what the top end of the expectations could be for basically every team going into the playoffs. Mm. Like, what could the Canadians do? What could the Lightning do? What could the Leafs do? Go down the line. I think the Lightning can win the Stanley Cup or lose in a Stanley Cup final. I think they're like the value play in the Eastern Conference. Since January 1st, they're tied for third league-wide in wins, third in total goals scored, fourth in goals for percentage, so their goal differential, and they have the best team save percentage in the league. Andrei Vasilevskiy, as Brian said, looks like the guy who won a couple Stanley Cups in a row. So they have recent playoff success, which I think is a big thing. They have recent form, clearly, since January 1. They're one of the best teams in the NHL. They're reasonably healthy, healthier than Florida. And their path, if they can get through Florida, like, there's unproven teams all the way to a Stanley Cup final. I think the Lightning are, like, kind of sneaky, the team to watch, and maybe a team worth taking a stab on if we're looking at the NHL futures market.
Yeah, we got a couple games left before it all shakes out, and we get the playoff picture, the matchups, but maybe a good chance to get your
a little happiness hedge for people in this market as well.
Okay, we got a couple things to talk about before we wrap up. But before that, McDonald's Canada has just launched the new smoky maple breakfast options, the smoky maple bacon and egg McMuffin, the smoky maple sausage and egg McGriddle, and the smoky maple chicken McMuffin. To celebrate, we're giving away $250 in McDonald's gift cards. To enter, listen for the code word, then text the code word to 590-590. Standard message and data rates may apply. Today's code word is breakfast. Text breakfast to 590-590 right now for your chance to win. We're giving away another gift card tomorrow, so be sure to tune in. Today's code word is breakfast.
I love it.
I'm a sausage and egg McMuffin girl all day long. That's my order. I now have to try the smoky
You'll
maple
have to.
Version. Okay, so Leafs Absolutely. On the network tonight against Tampa, as we mentioned, 7 p.m. start. And in about 15 minutes, Leafs are not playing the Red Sox. Blue Jays are playing the Red Sox. And today we got the official announcement of Vladdy's 14-year contract extension. Like, it's just, we knew it happened a few days ago, but to relive the moment, to see the real graphics, like, shout out to the Blue Jays social team who've been putting the work in. Like, they were grinding for this moment, and they got to press send on that real-time tweet, those moments, all the fun stuff they did to capture the excitement of this monumental moment. So today we actually got to, like, do some real retweeting.
Yeah, great. And we got to learn a little bit more about the contract, too, which is very interesting to me.
Yes.
It is, according to Shai Davidi, no deferred money, no opt-outs, full no trade. The deal includes a $325 million signing bonus. Oof. So it is basically lockout proof. He's going to get paid regardless, and apparently he's going to get those payments while residing in Florida, meaning he will evade, strong word.
That's a tough to
evading
take that
taxes
back.
Is a strong word. He will avoid
he will
having
avoid
to pay tax
paying taxes
on the many millions that he's going to receive in a signing bonus, Woo. Which is quite a turn. We were talking, you know, the arbitrary deadline, yes. and the deferred payment and trying to make a deal that is, you know, on paper 500, but really around 400, like Shohei Ohtani's is. This is more lucrative than Shohei Ohtani's because Shohei Ohtani decided to defer all of his payments. This is like real dollar. This is not going through Canadian government. This is not going through biweekly pay. He is getting a lot of money without anyone taking a cent from him, which is a huge deal because, again, this went to, hey, we're not sure if we want to pay him 500, but we'll call it 500 to the most real form of $500 million. This is a huge win from Vladdy's camp. They did an unbelievable job getting him what he wants, and you're not going to not do it if you're the Blue Jays because, well, what happens to the Blue Jays without Vladdy? Mm-hmm. Bad things. But this is a total slam dunk, grand slam, whatever you want to call it from Vladdy's camp. He is going to get paid and paid in a way that few are able to be paid.
Yeah, that $325 million signing bonus, he can pay his camp a lot of thank you gifts for getting this one done. And it's season right now, so just the idea of that made me like, gave me like the, whew. Give me the chills.
A little like a 1% annoyed by people that don't have to pay taxes, that's just me.
Okay, let's keep ripping
and everybody
through.
Else.
Sportsnet Plus tonight has the game we were talking about just a little earlier on. It's Luka Doncic returning home, his first game to in Dallas since playing for the Lakers. So this will be a big revenge spot. after getting kicked out of the game last night against OKC?
Yeah, double tech for Luka after jawing with a fan, and the ref took exception to it. And then OKC went on this huge run to win the game. It was a close game. It was actually awesome theater until Luka got ejected. But Luka also earned himself the first tech, and Luka always does this. So it's not exactly, just blaming it all on one party. I think there's some blood on the hands of Luka, but it doesn't matter because it's a big game tonight in Dallas. And yeah, it was it wasn't this unbelievable basketball showing when Dallas went through LA, but it was clearly Luka
had it. He was just getting his feet wet.
It was he was almost toying, and it's this is when I'm going to absolutely rip your hearts out.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It is going to be quite the scene on Sportsnet Plus tonight. Luka going back to Dallas, and he can really do as he wishes, I think, on the court tonight with a little extra rest after getting kicked out last night.
Okay, let's talk Masters quickly too.
Sure.
Okay, we're running.
We better.
We're short on time, folks.
We better.
All right, this golf report is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Subaru, welcome to Uncommon. We are less than 24 hours away from the Masters kicking off, and we've got four Canadians in the field: Nick Taylor, Corey Connors, Taylor Pendrith, and Mike Weir. It's 22 years since Weir won the Masters, but Corey Connors might be Canada's best hope since. He's got his eighth Masters start this year. He finished top 10 at Augusta in three consecutive years. Now, this is 2020, 21, and 22. And his best finish was that 2022 season, and he was T6. But his last 2 years, he missed the cut and was a T38. But he's in good form right now. He's got four top 10 finishes already this year. He's a pretty hot pick right now in the gambling circles to get a top 10 finish at the Masters. Taylor Pendrith is having his Masters debut, which is really fun. And Nick Taylor, obviously, we saw he won the Sony Open earlier in a playoff this year. So I feel good about the Canadians, but specifically about Corey Connors, really moving up the leaderboard.
Corey Connors has been forever connected to, he should do well at the Masters. His game is suited, and it surprised me to rehear or relearn what he did the last couple years.
Yeah,
because he's
amazing.
Supposed to be the guy that was, always knocking on the door, and it takes something to win at the Masters. It takes something pretty special to win. But if Corey Connors, with his game, which is, again, pretty geared towards having success, at the Masters, if he's on, he has a really good chance to win this tournament. It's Nick Taylor who seems to be able to win on the PGA Tour.
He can close out really
well. It's Corey Connors who's supposed to win at Augusta, or at least place and do as well as any Canadian should at Augusta. Mike Weir playing again, obviously. He has that right, being the former Masters winner. Would you just play forever?
Yes. Until I'm embarrassing myself, where it's just get off the course, man.
And he's not.
No, he's still
the guy looks like he's 35.
Yeah, but no, I would be going until they're please don't come this year.
It really is the coolest thing about the Masters.
It is. It does make the field a lot smaller, smaller, a little less competitive at times when they have some of the guys that, Mike Weir's not going to win, knock on wood. I mean, he could win, actually. I shouldn't pet that. But, I don't want to jinx him, but, the group is a little bit smaller, which makes this such an interesting tournament. But he's teeing off tomorrow, 8:02 a.m., and you'll have Corey Connors off at 9:14.
Yeah, it feels like such a different event than a normal PGA event, because, of course, you're getting live guys, you're getting former Masters winners, and then you're just getting the cream of the crop, top 50
it's
guys.
It's pretty amazing.
And on the PGA Tour, guys who don't play the Mexico Open.
Yeah.
And the Valero Texas Open. It's the best of the best. This is why the Masters is awesome. You get that mix of the highest quality of golf plus, the legacy and prestige of the Masters tournament.
So we are off tomorrow. So our golf report will be back on Friday. And that golf report was brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealer. Subaru, welcome to Uncommon. We don't have a show tomorrow because the Blue Jays play at 4:00. next week is more normal, folks. You'll know where to find us. So by the time we do our next golf report, it will be one whole day into the Masters, and maybe we'll have a runaway leader. We'll have some interesting names at the top of the leaderboard. It'll be fun. Hopefully Rory hangs in there in the first round, because we need to.
Yeah,
need
he's got to dodge the first bullet, which is not stepping
on a
rake.
Are you thinking it's his year?
No. I don't think
I'm believing in it.
Is it Vladdy's night tonight? First home run?
I think tonight could be a great night for Toronto sports. Vladdy home run, Leafs beat the Lightning in the biggest game of our lifetime
ever.
And the Raptors are also playing tonight, and they'll probably beat the Charlotte Hornets.
Which, again, I mean, they're locked
in. At
this
point, is
do what you need to do now, Raptors.
Yeah.
Play Brandon Ingram. Let's see something different. Hopefully.
Okay. Could be a fun night. We will direct you to all of the sports tonight. You got Raptors, you got Leafs, and you got Jays. So enjoy your viewing, and we'll see you on Friday.